Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for NFL Week 18 action is Twin Spires analyst Scott Shapiro. You can follow him on Twitter at ScottShap34. Scott, great to have you back on the show.
Great to be back with you, Rob, and great to be back to the Covers audience. Happy New Year to you, Rob, and everyone else. Hope things are going well for you in the semi-new digs of Florida. Last time we spoke, it was the brand new one.
Yes, it is going absolutely fantastic here. And I also have to give a hat tip to last week, because what we're going to do in this episode, quickly look back at what we learned in week 17, then look forward to week 18. And podcast was good last week. We were on my Pittsburgh Steelers +3.5. And I couldn't believe when I saw that the line flipped to Steelers -3 at some point, because I wasn't understanding how the Steelers are 3.5-point dogs at home in Big Ben's final home game. Like, that alone should have been the biggest red flag in the world. But guess what? We got to capitalize on it. That was a victory for us. We had Ed Fang from the Power Rank on the podcast. He was on the Raiders, which is a great call by him. Even though he had them at 6.5, that number shot up to 10. Raiders win that one outright. Only blemish was the total on the Cowboys-Cardinals game. And then, Scott, one of my best bets of the year actually happened in live betting. My wife being a Bills fan, we were watching the Bills-Falcons game. Unfortunately, I try not to watch Falcons games when possible. Bills up 14-2, and then all of a sudden, here comes the Falcons. And I want to say they're down one or two at the half, and I look at the live betting line, and I'm like, well, what is this number? And I was able to jump on an alternate line of the Bills -10.5, +154. And why this was of note is because the pregame line was -14 or 14.5. And we all know the Atlanta Falcons. They are notorious for second half collapses. And Josh Allen had already turned the ball over a few different times. And as good fortune would have, exactly just that happened.
Yes, it did. And that Steeler, real quick, that Steeler line was real weird. I didn't really understand it myself. It was as if Baker Mayfield was Roger Staubach or something, the respect they were getting in that line with how poor the Browns have been executing. Then the line moves just based on the fact that the Browns are eliminated from the playoffs. It was a very odd situation, but glad you got to capitalize. Sharp pick by Ed with the Raiders, and then good job by you with the Bills. Josh Allen did all he could to keep the Falcons in the game, but like he has in most of the games for the Bills this year, wearing that heroic Superman-type cape, brought them back. Devin Singletary really getting a job done on the ground. Good play by you taking advantage of the live market.
And the key was the number was 6.5 at -108, but I'm sitting in there and I'm like, they can crush this team. They're up 14-2. So let's go ahead and boost this up a little bit. And I even considered the -13.5, which also would have covered, because as good fortune would have it, boom, the Bills go for 2, make that number 7, score a touchdown, make that 14. And big shout out to Matt Ryan for getting a 15-yard personal foul taunting penalty on what should have been a touchdown. He was down at the half inch line. They moved that back to the 15, no touchdown, the under hits, and the Bills live bet hits.
Yeah, that was, I got some issues with a couple of those rules. The main one is the one that we've seen a couple times this year where a quarterback, quote unquote, in some situations is giving himself up. But really, when you're near the goal line, that rule has to go out the window, because those guys are not giving themselves up. It's a much different situation. But then if you're going to penalize them for that rule, giving them the taunting penalty is just over the top. But I'm glad you and many others were able to take advantage of it.
So let's look forward to NFL Week 18. And on my mind is one question: what's real or what's not? Because we've got one who's playing, COVID, as well as who is sitting. So in a lot of games, and we're recording this on Wednesday at 2 p.m., we don't know who's going to be starting. So there's an opportunity potentially to get ahead of lines or to wait on something with something changes. We also have the narrative of this team's in the playoffs already. Are they playing a non-playoff team? Who has given up on the season and who is not? And who wants to play spoiler? But guess what? all things are not created equal. Just because a team is bad doesn't mean they've given up on the season. I think a great example of that would be what we've sort of seen out of the Lions and Texans this year. They're teams that have been playing a little bit harder. You look over at the Jaguars and Giants, those two teams look like they've given up on the season. But going into week 18, I still want to rely on my fundamentals while still keeping some of these things top of mind.
I agree with you. I think the have to win angle is the one of the most, especially in the final week of the season, is one of the most over bet angles there is. Now, it's important to know what teams are playing for sure. But the bump up in the line sometimes because a team has to win is something I've never believed in. If a team was all that good to get into the playoffs in week 18, would they have to win? Now, obviously, every situation is different, Rob, and knowing all of the variables is important. But I'm with you. You want to stick to your fundamentals first and foremost in week 18.
And speaking of that, let's start with this. The Baltimore Ravens, 5.5-point favorites at home, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And fundamentally, this is a no-brainer for me. Give me the Steelers plus 5.5. Why is that? Because in this Ravens-Steelers matchup, and this is the exact same thing that was said the last time these two teams played, when one of the teams is an underdog of 3 or more, they are 17-2 against the spread in this matchup. And we saw it last time where the Steelers were an underdog in the first matchup of more than 3. They won and covered. So once again, we've got the narrative. Steelers division game, 5.5. Give me them, even though the Steelers are terrible on defense against the run. And I have no confidence in them from what I saw. They beat the Browns. It was not pretty, but this is a fundamentals bet.
I agree with you. Everything about me wants to take the Steelers in here. And I just don't really understand if you're playing this game or if you decide, you know, if you have options, who's rushing out to bet the Ravens right now, laying nearly a touchdown? Their secondary is awful. Matthew Stafford tried to prove otherwise last week. Sure, Big Ben, unlikely to take advantage of that. But they don't even have a good running game this year, which is, like you mentioned, what you would like to think they would be able to take advantage of with Pittsburgh. My only concern in this spot with playing big on the Steelers is one day less rest, of course, and they seem to be emotionally all in with Big Ben's last game at home. Now, I know they can get into the playoffs with this. It would seem very odd for them to not be up for the game, but they're not a great team. So my question is there any chance they come out so flat and maybe lose this game by 10 or so? I don't know. I could never play the Ravens in this spot. I definitely lean Steelers with you.
And it actually reminds me of the year Ben got hurt and the Steelers were trotting out something of Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, and they somehow clawed their way to 8-7, and they have this long shot, and they come to Baltimore, and Baltimore beat them by about 800 points. So we know that's definitely possible. But remember, TJ Watt is going for the all-time sack record, albeit with one extra game. So there is motivation, but I'm with you. Off a big win like that, fundamentally, we would say, hey, Baltimore would seem like a good bet. So next one, I just want to briefly touch on, looking at my fundamentals, Patriots laying 6.5 on the road, taking on the Dolphins. Yesterday, this was the first number that stood out to me, and the number was at 7, and I was like, boom, give me the Dolphins at 7. Of course, I didn't bet it then. I look now, it's at 6.5. I'm going to be on the Dolphins. I don't know if I'm going to take it at 6.5 or try and do it on live betting, but fundamentally, the Patriots somehow don't play as great against the Dolphins, and we're getting a touchdown or near a touchdown, and we've seen in years past, just somehow this has been a weird matchup. And remember, we're just 1 week removed from everybody potentially loving the Dolphins, albeit going into the game against the Titans. They're on the up and up, and now we're supposed to believe that they're terrible. They just got off a blowout loss. Patriots off a blowout win. Boom, that's a recipe for give me the Dolphins.
Yeah, I would be on the Dolphins here if I had to play a side. Week one they played, so they bookend the season. The Dolphins won that game 17-16 in a grinder. I would expect another grinder here. The reason I'm a little bit scared of the Dolphins is I just don't like what I see from Tua. He just seems reluctant to take chances down the field. I feel like with the Bill Belichick game plan here, it's going to be very difficult for the Dolphins without a running game and without a downfield passing game to have much success on offense. But I do think the Dolphins and Brian Flores will treat this somewhat like a Super Bowl. You mentioned them coming in off a big winning streak before their disappointing loss to Tennessee last week. Those games came against a lot of inferior competition. I think they're going to want to send this season out on a high note. They've got some things to look forward to next year. Things didn't go their way this year, but you know, they really did turn things around when their two corners came back. Look for this one to be a low scoring game. I take the Dolphins with the points as well, Rob.
All right. And then we've got two top shelf games on the slate. We got Rams laying 4 at home, taking on the 49ers. Likely to be Trey Lance right now. We don't know if it's him or Jimmy G. This is going to be a playoff game for both of these teams. The uncertainty, I feel, is all over the place. Matthew Stafford has not been good versus teams that are above 500. And I have zero faith in Trey Lance on the road right here. This number has come down. I believe it was at 5.5 earlier. A lot of action on the 49ers. Scott, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I got in at 5 with the 49ers in this one. Not only have Kyle Shanahan and the Niners had Sean McVay and the Rams number 7-3 in their last 10 against the spread and straight up and 5 in a row, but I just don't trust laying points at this point with the Rams. And a lot of it, like you said, has to do with Matthew Stafford, who certainly has a lot of the skill sets to be an all-time great quarterback. We use the Lions as an excuse for him over the years. He came out of the for the season first with the Rams playing awesome, but he has made some really terrible mistakes of late. I don't trust him much in this matchup or in any matchup. The one big issue for the Niners defense is on the outside and then their secondary, but Stafford wasn't able to take advantage of that against a very, very poor Ravens secondary last week. And the Niners are desperate. I know you said this is a playoff game for both teams. The Rams are in. This game matters for them, but they get in either way. This is do or die for the 49ers, who I think have a very, very strong roster for the most part with a few holes in it. You mentioned Trey Lance, not overly confident there. But I think the Niners come out and play well, and I think they've got a big chance to win this game outright. I'll take the points.
Yeah, I'm going to look and see what happens to this line. Does this get to 3.5? Does it even move to 3 before I would take any action on this? I would lean Rams if it gets at that number. Last game, and we're on the last game of the regular season. Raiders at home, 3-point dogs taking on the Chargers. And this game is kind of gross because the Chargers on the season, minus 18-point differential. I believe the Raiders are at minus 68-point differential. So looking at this, two teams fighting for the playoffs, two teams that have been extremely untrustworthy. Like, I would accept all answers for what happens in this game. For me, the Raiders getting 3 points at home seems like the foundational play, albeit your eyes say I would rather have Justin Herbert laying 3.
Yeah, it's one of those games where first and foremost for the well-being of the playoffs and the excitement of the playoffs, I want to see the Chargers win. Good, you know, the Raiders, I thought they were dead to rights. I give them some credit for battling here to the finish line and getting some key wins, a couple where we didn't expect them to. But the Chargers just have so much more upside on any given Sunday or Saturday or Monday when it comes to the NFL playoffs. And the Raiders have played good defense of late, but they've done so against a number of really poor quarterbacks. Carson Wentz, coming off COVID, wasn't himself last week, and even himself is not anything at a superstar level. Before that, Drew Lock. Before that, Baker Mayfield, who's been terrible this year. They got toasted twice in a row by Patrick Mahomes, even when they were in that slump. And then the other game in the mix was against Taylor Heineke. They just are really not that good of a unit, especially if they don't get pressure on the quarterback. I think Justin Herbert finds a way to do enough on offense against a Raider defense that can be had. I don't trust the Chargers either, Rob, but I really want to trust them here in a game where I just think they're the better team in a must-win spot.
I agree. I'm just going to look and see what happens in this game. Is there anything COVID related that happens? Does this move off of 3? My guess would be it's gone from 2.5 up to 3. I don't know if that would hit 3.5. It might be more live betting just because of the how much I don't trust either side, because it's been very difficult to understand both of those teams. The Chargers, you want to believe in them. The Raiders, you don't, and then they show up. So it's a very much a conundrum when it gets to this. So for me, looking at the recap, I'm locked in on the Steelers plus 5.5. I'm going to be on the Dolphins. I'm going to see if that moves back up from 6.5 down to 7. Scott, what about you?
Yeah, I'm in on the 49ers. I got in at 5. I don't think we'll get that now or anytime before kickoff. I like the Steelers. I don't love them. Same can be said with the Dolphins, and I'm going to be on the Chargers, even though you really put it right. I don't trust them at all. I could easily see them winning by one or two or finding a way to lose somehow to an inferior team, but I'm going to trust my eyes over anything else and play the Chargers light.
Scott, love jamming with you. Where can everybody connect?
Love jamming with you too, Rob. And you can find me on Twitter at ScottChap34. You can find all my work both in the sports and racing realm at Twin Spires on our blog called The Edge.
And I want to hear from you. What does your NFL Week 18 card look like? And what is your favorite bet of the week, the team that gives you the most confidence? You can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The book of the devil hit you with the rap level attempt. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.